This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 24th of May, 1962. The title of this lecture is E-Meter Data, Instant Reads, Part 1. This tape is 60 minutes long.
Well, I'm glad to be in your midst. Actually, I enjoy lecturing to you. I do. Last night, enjoyed giving a session. I thought that was the most, you know. You saw me lay a couple of eggs with this PC earlier, you know. And remember, the earlier sessions were not particularly productive of any vast gain. See, didn't go downhill or anything. And last night, well, you see, I just got the idea that I better show you how to do some fishing and fumbling. And he might not have noticed what it did. It might have been all something or other. All I did was let the meter wave until it ticked. And I just steered the PC onto a double tick. I just set out to clean up a dirty needle. And actually, in that hour, made a stage of cleaning it up. And we got some of the stuff cleaned off it. What do you know? It was right on his goal line. You don't mind my mentioning it. It was right on his goal line, and everything was fine. You notice I didn't go out of this lifetime. Well, I didn't even go back into his childhood. Nothing. I held him securely anchored in the last 3 years. Remember? Well, that's steering the PC. That's just fish and fumble. You can clear up some of the most remarkable things, particularly if you're aided and assisted by the fact that the PC has a meter pattern to start with. But there was something very tricky last night that you might have missed, and that was just this and nothing more, was the handling of the stuck picture. PC has a stuck picture. PC complains about stuck picture. You find session in which picture was first found, get the missed withhold off of that session. Don't you go running that engram. Because it's a stuck picture, so obviously it won't run. Well, enough of that. I'm going to talk about the meter. Now, what's the day, 25th? 4th. What are you doing on the 24th? I was on the 25th. Well, I'll come back to the 24th. All right. First lecture, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, 24th May, 62. We have a lecture about the E-meter. Once there was a cat, and he went sniffing along corridors in the open cracks below auditing room doors. And after being baffled for a very long time, he became a very wise cat. And out of all this, we have a single plea. Use the E-meter. I know that seems like a lot to ask. But if you use it, it'll treat you right. And if you misuse it, wrong. Once again, we have a complete breakdown in progress that occurred here in September of 1961. Whereby everybody fashionably was reading the E-meter cross-eyed with the rudiments wildly out, and everybody was plowing into the ground. And we have come again into that particular period. Now, recently I have talked to you scoldishly, and I've said, why don't you make your PCs look good? Remember? Well, I tell you, your PCs don't look good because you're not reading an E-meter. That's all. It's a gross auditing error. Simple. Factual. Horrible to contemplate. But true. It isn't the way you were holding your little finger in a session. It isn't the fact that your thumb is insufficiently calloused on the tone arm. It isn't any one of a thousand things. It isn't because you don't have a command model session. It isn't because of something weird or wonderful in the PC. It's just that you're not reading an E-meter, that's all. That sounds horrible, but I don't think this applies to all of you. It couldn't. But it must apply in some degree to all of you, because I don't see anybody listening to this lecture 3 feet off his chair. Today, all you have to do is just exactly what you have to do. You don't have to do anything fancy. And that is a very, very rough thing to get through to you. We actually are there as far as technology is concerned. Been there for some time, but been improving. Little bits. But, you know, I don't know a thing today that you could audit on somebody that wouldn't produce a remarkable gain. See, I don't know anything we're using that wouldn't produce a remarkable gain on the PC. And I caught you out this way. I audit a PC with exactly what you're using, he shines. You audit a PC, and I get an instructor to check it, and your rudiments are all out. Well, how could your rudiments be out? It isn't that you're not asking the exact proper question. Oh, you're asking the right question. But the needle goes over, hits the pin, bends. Blue smoke comes out of the meter connection. The sensitivity knob becomes incandescent. And you say, that's clear, and go on to the next question. And that's all that's happening. Honest, I plead with you. Now, I know you think you aren't doing it. But Fred was telling me in the break up there, he says, you know, he said, I had to practice quite a while in practical. I suddenly realized I was just not seeing instant reads. And all of a sudden, I started to see them. There is some kind of an oddball phenomenon that goes this way. Your eyesight shuts off. That's the only way I can explain it. Now, what shuts off your ruddy eyesight? What shuts it off? So I had to ask myself this embarrassing question. Did we know what made an auditor turn off when he turned the meter on? Do we know that? And up to last night, we didn't. So I had to figure out what happened. Well, of course, I had the data, but I had to assemble it. So I can give you this cheerful information. You can stop looking as though I have just beaten you, because I haven't just beaten you. You see, if I had confidence in you, why, I wouldn't even try. But a few weeks ago, I took a look at you all, and I realized that the gray, sunken cheek, the thick and muddy eye, the dragging of oneself up the stairs was not being caused by your late hours or lack of food or anything else, but must somehow or another be caused by the auditing. And I started on a campaign at that time to locate what was wrong. Now, actually, I wasn't trying to look for anything. I was just looking to see what was there. This is always a good idea when you're looking for something. Don't make up your mind like the psychologist that you know the something you were looking for before you look. It's very remarkable. You can look across a whole beach of white pebbles for a white pebble, don't you see, and never find one. If you've already specified that in order to find a white pebble, it has to be black, you see, or something odd like this. No, the thing to do is just to go down to the beach and look, and not even look for a white pebble, just look and see what's there. That's always very good in research. By the Ford Foundation, I think it's $100 million a month. I think that's the value of the research as done by the Ford Foundation. About $100 million, well, that's an exaggeration. It's actually $100 million worth a minute, because, of course, they get no place. You know, the Ford Foundation's research along these various lines was to be chalked up in value. Why, it couldn't be. He said, because they haven't gotten any place. Actually, the Ford Foundation was founded at exactly the same day. Did you know this? The first Hubbard Dianetic Research Foundation, for exactly the same purposes, to discover the basics of human life and the mind. It's fascinating. And there they are. And it's cost them, since that time, several $1 billion. And they recently, a few years ago, just after they investigated Ahazi in Phoenix, Arizona, they sent a representative down, he gave a report of some kind or other. They wrote a letter to an inquirer that they had ceased to investigate in that particular field. Now, out of that, we didn't know quite what to imply, but we whipped them. But the idea is that fantastic sums can be spent in research by taking records and compiling records and comparing records to records. And the next thing, when you get through, you've got some records. You make nice bonfires, you can toast weenies over them. But to date, this type of research, which does all the lookingness on a via through symbols, you know, we're going to mathematically compute it all. See, we've got a white tree in front of us, so we're going to mathematically compute as to whether or not a white tree can exist. And then we figure out that it can't, and we walk away. See, and that's very commonly the fate of research. What was it, Hegel or Hume or Hegel, I think it was, or some such bird. Somebody or other had up and looked through a telescope and had found the eighth planet, that's it. And somebody like Hegel, I think it was, said, couldn't exist because the perfect number was 7. And for several years, nobody would admit that it existed. All they had to do was train a telescope on it. But it couldn't exist because the perfect number was 7, therefore there couldn't be more than 7 planets in this system. That's what's known as looking at the figures, you see, not looking at anything else. So all of this kind of thing, I start narrowing it down. Now, the first observation was, you didn't glow, see? I'm always looking, and this one I found, see, you didn't glow. That was obviously a fact. There was nobody glowing. To prove it, you're in the basement, aren't you, here? We're still using coal. See? That's enough, see? Proves itself, doesn't it? So, he wants some mathematical computation to go along with it. I'll just throw that one in, you see. from that, I made a couple of assignments. Not necessarily sneakily. I really did just make these assignments, you see. And the assignments I made was, one, I gave an auditor a list of questions, prep check questions to be cleaned on a PC, and I gave another auditor a list of questions that had already been asked to check over whether or not they were live. The best way to repair a case, you see, on a prep check is to pick up all the questions left alive and clean them. That's the best thing to do. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. I also got some rudiments checked by your auditing supervisor. And I was coordinating tone arm against out rudiments. And one of the earlier discoveries on this, when the rudiment is out, the tone arm, she don't move. Important fact. That's a new fact. If the rudiments are out, no tone arm action. It applies to anything. All right. I went ahead then. And you saw the results last night of one of these people I checked out. This is not necessarily derogatory to the auditors who did this. There's no point in you going out and blowing your brains out because we just had to pick you up in the next life and clear you again, see? Nobody is being condemnatory on this particular life. But it is indicative of something. And the thing it's indicative of is somebody wasn't reading the meter, because I'm absolutely sure that the auditor checked those questions. They didn't read right. Something, see. Now, in further discovery of this, I find out that the auditor believed the meter did not react. and that there was some belief present that TR1 must be out, that the auditor isn't delivering the question hard enough, you see, to the PC, or hasn't enough control over the PC to make the meter register. That could enter in, you see. And there are a lot of other things. You can explain this a dozen ways. I actually don't buy any of that. I think the meter reacted. And it wasn't observed. Well, it's as simple as that. Let's take the gross auditing error just as a gross auditing error, not a lot of mathematical figure over alongside of the thing. Let's not try to figure out why, particularly on that basis. Let's not say the meter didn't operate and the PC didn't operate. Because, look, this has been several widely scattered PCs, which picked up immediately afterwards, one of them by an instructor he could cheerfully strangle. The PC could. That instructor couldn't possibly have anything with that PC but an ARC break, and every single one of them reacted. But we can't attribute it to some other mechanism. Except just this. He was looking at the meter, and the meter wobbled, the needle went bap, and the auditor didn't do a thing about it. The auditor didn't see it. That's the only available explanation. Because other people hostile to the PC, in the PC's estimation, found the meter operating for them. Why, do you think it's easy to sit up in front of that TV camera? It isn't, man. Not for a PC. Not easy at all. Takes quite a bit as an auditor to hold him in. And you saw those questions falling off the pin, but those questions just been checked over. And some statement was made that they were mostly clear. Now, afterwards, we found out, although they'd been stated mostly clear at first, the auditor said that not all of them were. However, there was one there that the auditor had said was clear that was not clear on my test. Well, that wipes it out. The things were reacting, in other words. In other words, something was happening with the meter, and it was not observed. And listen to me. You see me crossing this bridge right now? You're going to cross this bridge. There's hardly a one here that isn't going to cross this bridge sooner or later. You're going to stand there speechless. Whether in the HGC or an academy or with somebody who's helping you out as an auditor or something of the sort, I don't care where it's going to be, you're going to cross this same barrier. And you're going to say, Mrs. Glutz is not doing better. Did you notice the blood dripping out of both her eyes when she left the site today? And the auditor will say, whether student or staff auditor or whoever it'll be, he will say, yes, but she's just a very difficult PC. She's very difficult. And if you don't know what to do at that point, you yourself will go figure it all out mathematically. Thing to do is to get a hold of the PC and take a look at the PC. That's your first thing. And the PC isn't better. See, that's good enough with modern processes. The PC isn't better. The PC does not look better. Therefore, somebody isn't reading the meter. Bing, bing, something. You wait. You'll be on this hot seat. And you'll get Mrs. Glutz, and you'll put her down in a chair, and you will hand her the cans, and you will say, well, now let's see now. Now, let me see. You just had a session. Now, in that session, did you tell any half-truth? Untruth? Tone arm action. Did you try to impress the auditor? Did you try to damage anyone? There's no sense in going on checking it because the tone arm is now at 7. And you'll turn around to this auditor and you will say, hey, Mike. Hey, bud. What the hell? What goes on? She blew it all in when she left the session. Now, you idiot, may fall for it. And you lost sight of it. then what might it have been? Might it be that his TR1 is bad? Or actually, the PC is so ARC broke, that doesn't read on the meter for that auditor? Or is it the fact that they were clear at that moment for him, but not for me? Or do they have mutual withholds between themselves, which are then coming out because I am checking? You know, you can just figure yourself crazy. Now, this is the one you want to figure. The meter wobbled, and the auditor was looking out the window. Don't figure it any other way. Because if you do figure it any other way, you will miss its cure. The thing to cure is not necessarily the auditor's eyesight. How can an auditor get in that condition? By invalidating the meter, of course. An auditor can go stone blind on a meter. Now, how does this come about? The auditor is audited by an auditor who is stone blind. Just exactly how do we get this chain reaction, see? He's sitting there, early in his career, minding his own business, and his auditor says to him, "Do you have a present time problem?" And he thinks, "Oh my God, if I don't pay the rent by 2 o'clock, I'm going to be thrown out," you see? And he can just feel this thing seethe, you know. The auditor says, "Thank you, that's clear." And he says, "You know, that didn't register." You understand, he couldn't see the dial, so he doesn't know whether it doesn't register or not. He makes the assumption that it didn't register. Didn't register, see? Just like a present-time problem to me. I guess the meter, well, all right. No, just, he just kind of suppresses it and goes through the session gritting his teeth. Next session, the night before, okay, he was on a drinking bout with this guy's girlfriend, see, or something like that. Whatever it was, it didn't matter. "Since the last session, have you done anything or something like this that you're withholding?" "Oh boy," he says, "man, when he gets this, I don't know whether I can get this withhold off or not." I can just imagine him going out and buying a sound truck and driving up and down the streets, you see, with this particular withhold, because that's what they always do with hot withholds, you see. "Well, therefore, no time will I, you know. But if I sit here real quietly and don't breathe at this moment, if he asks a question, be all right." And the auditor looks at him and says, "That's clear." The guy says, "That was lucky." "Man, got away with that." And this happens often enough to a point where a guy gets the idea that meters don't read. See, all it requires is for one auditor auditing another auditor to make one error, be looking elsewhere when the meter bangs. Just requires one of these, and you start this chain going. You think the meter didn't read. And this is very invalidating to the meter. You think meters don't read. That's where that comes in. Well, of course, that happens while you're in session, and you're kind of non-compos mentis at the time, or too interested in withholding what you're withholding, or something like that, you see, to go into this thing deeply. And so you close that one out. That's a total suppression. You forget it. It lays the most beautiful chain in you ever heard of. You know it should have read, and it didn't read. Therefore, the meter's no good. But your assumption is the incorrect assumption, so it lasts in space, which is, meter didn't read. That is a lie. The meter read. And as any lie, it'll hang up. And it builds the whole chain up. With somebody who was audited this way, builds an enormous chain. The way you clear that chain is you just prep check the question, has any auditor ever failed to find a meter read on you that you thought should have reacted? That gets the unknowns out of it, because that's the most likely area of unknown, even though it's kind of motivator-ish. It's actually neither an overt nor motivator, it's just hanging in space, but it's quite unknown. Because it happened in the middle of the session while a PC was very interested in other things, see? So it's a quick one. One of the ways the ancient medicine man operated, I actually at one time or another have studied in this particular field. I remember about 1638, I was very disgusted. I did some study in North America on the subject of becoming an Indian medicine man. One of the fine ways to go about is learn how to scream. And if you can let off a good scream, if it's got saw-toothed edges, that is twice as loud as any psycho's scream, see. Just a good total volume scream. You can stand close to somebody, scream suddenly, utter a command phrase, and then continue your scream. It'll go in as a total implant. That is a crude and savage way of implanting, but very effective. This is your old medicine man. Make a terrific amount of noise. No noise for a second, and utter a command phrase, like you were a pig. See? Interrupt the scream at that point, and then start it again at exactly the same pitch that you stopped it, and go on and finish the scream. The person who heard this scream is unaware of its ever having been interrupted. And after the session, we'll look at you attentively and say, oink. Really well. I mean, this is quite effective. Quite effective. There'd be many ways to go about it. You could take a pistol and put somebody in sudden terror and shoot past his face and then stop shooting for a moment and say something to him and then shoot the other three shots. He'd never have any idea that you ever said anything. He goes into an unknown and makes a compulsion. This is probably how the ancient magician enchanted things. Possibly princes have turned into deer in the forest. If you took a period in the magic universe when thetans were still capable of mocking up their own bodies, and you pull some shocking stunt on the person and sandwiched in the middle, you are now a deer, why, he'd cease to mock up the prince and start mocking up a deer, don't you see? And he would be an enchanted deer. That would be how enchantments were accomplished. I mean, it's just the mechanism of enchantment. There's no clue in that. So when you lay something in, like a hellish invalidation of the meter, the person is so involved in their own think and worried, you see, about something or other, they're already very submerged and very withholdy, they get a further withhold on top of the darn thing. This is though they were being screamed at. You see, they're with... Meter doesn't work, and then... Meter doesn't work. But they don't know that. Except they can't read meters. See how you could do it to somebody? But actually, it wouldn't be just that motivator that made this thing come true. I'm afraid for any prince to get enchanted. I'm afraid in the former life, when he was a magician... He ran into a prince and committed an overt, which was actually a motivator. I think that's how it all got mixed up. He did the enchantment, and somebody in front of him turned into a deer to hang the guy with his own enchantment. And then, of course, walked around the other side of the tree and became a prince again. So you'd have to have an incident of that particular kind. The guy commits an overt that he thinks is an overt, that is actually a motivator, but he doesn't know it is, in order to get some such goofiness started. In other words, a PC is to some degree at an auditor's mercy. When an auditor does something weird, makes some evaluative remark, the PC might be fogged up at that kind of an instant, and if it's too bad, pooey. It isn't that you're auditing on a long range is going to do anything, providing you eventually get rid of the person's GPM, because all of this hangs up on the GPM. When you eventually blow the GPM, it'll blow all the rest of it, don't you see? So therefore, you have to audit in such a way as to not impede the PC from getting clear. It isn't that you can actually hurt a PC, you understand? But the stuff is laying in against the aberrations and the GPMs, see? And you got to audit a PC so that the GPM is not thoroughly restimulated, and so at the other end he goes clear and the GPM blows to pieces. Got it? And then all the auditing and everything else comes off. But in the meantime, if you do a rough job of auditing, because the PC is in a rough state, Why, of course, you get these implantations inadvertently. Quite inadvertent. You have to be careful what you say to a PC who is in session, as you know very well.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Psychiatry, by the way, we find psychiatry hard to understand because the psychiatrist is always doing something on a goal line that we don't understand. We say we have a goal line. I ask all of you about this, what's your private opinion of why your audit of PC is concerned, but it's uniformly to do something for the PC, to help them out, something like that. You see, we all had that idea. Actually, psychiatry doesn't have that idea in treating a patient. They're not trying to make the patient better or cure insanity or anything like that. They have entirely different goal lines, so you find them incomprehensible. By the way, in doing a 3GA, all the people who are incomprehensible are the people who would not want your goal. Those are the true incomprehensibles of this universe. You just can't understand them. And of course, you stop and think of a president of the United States who wants to be a piccolo player or something like that, you'd have a hard time understanding his foreign policy. You think he was being inefficient in running the nation, whereas he knows he's being efficient in running the nation. He is handing out enormous sums of money to disabled piccolo players, you see, or something like this. So he knows how to run a nation. He is president so he can go to concerts. See, and that helps out. Comprehensible. This would be the way most nations are run. Supposing, by the way, you've got all the heads of state there are in the world that caused all this upset misery and got them down the line and actually did a goals assessment on each one of them, I imagine it would be terribly revelatory. It would be a kick, man. You wouldn't believe it. God, the reasons they want to be president or king or commissar, generalissimo. Well, this goal line that the individual has is quite important. He's trying to get clear, and things that cross against it are all those things which we classify as auditing errors. You see, he's apparently being batted aback on the subject of his goal. Well, actually, smooth auditing is designed not to bat his goal back. And that's the definition of what's right and wrong in an auditing session. Now, that doesn't mean specifically we have to know what his goal is or anything else. We just don't impede him on going forward. So the things that impede him, we delete from the session, and we get some incomprehensible like, do you have a present time problem? Yes, the individual does have a present time problem. Oh, my God, you know. Got this present, it's an antisocial present time problem or something of the sort. And he really doesn't want to fess up to it. And he's right in the line of having to make a horrible admission of some kind. And then the auditor says, that's clear. Of course, he wanted to get rid of his present time problem was his basic goal. And he didn't get a chance to get rid of it, so you've gone across his goal line, you've laid one in, and that one that comes in is the meter doesn't work. And he inevitably will make that conclusion at that moment. It's actually very upsetting. If you go back and analyze the thing and go over this, you sit there very upset. You're saying to yourself, my God, it's a good thing I got away with that withhold. Thank God I didn't have to get off that withhold. What you're thinking kind of analytically, you know. Oh, boy, would that have been embarrassing. This girl auditor and, oh, gee. So happy I didn't have to get off the withhold. You know, she said it was clear. I don't think it was clear. Hour and a half later, he's getting audited all this time, you see. What the hell was the matter with the e-meter, you know? Well, he has come to the conclusion that it didn't work. See, the conclusion is, automatically, the response is, the e-meter doesn't work. That's what's laid in. He knows it should react. It didn't react, so therefore, what should react doesn't react, so therefore, it doesn't react. And there's quite an upset about that. I've seen this myself. I've had an ARC break, something like this, and the auditor wouldn't register, but I would on the meter. In other words, I could ask myself the question, do I have a present time problem? The meter would go plang, you see. And the auditor asked me, do you have present time problem? And it'd sit there absolutely motionless. It was quite interesting. I've actually seen a meter myself. With the auditor, I said, well, now, come on now. Let's look at this. Let's look at this damn thing. You see, here's a weird phenomenon. The auditor asked me the question, no reaction. I asked the question, reaction. Yeah, I was holding the cans. Fantastic. So the meter can be ARC broke out of existence. But even so, the shock in not seeing the meter operate was quite something. A considerable shock involved in that operation. You know, she asked me a question, do you have a present time? Nothing will operate. I asked the question, do you have a present time? It operates. What the hell is going on here? See? I just couldn't believe it, you know, just stony-eyed disbelief. I already have a good subjective reality on it. Quite a shock. Patched up the ARC brake. Of course, the meter operated for the auditor. Wasn't anything more to it than that. Hey, you remember the time and date of this, because I studied this a little bit further and then found out that a meter could be inoperative in the process of an ARC brake. But you'd have to ARC brake the living daylights out of the PC before you got to this phenomena, and I don't believe we really reached this phenomena. That meter, by the way, I don't think was tuned to sensitivity 16. I think it was at a low sensitivity. I think it still would have read one way or the other, but it was quite a shock to me. Meter gets invalidated. At the same time, the PC's ARC broke. Now, the next time this person is auditing, it sweeps, it reacts, perhaps minorly, because his rudiments are already kind of queasy and the PC's halfway ARC broke. He gets a reaction. He doesn't believe it when he sees it. You could stack these up to a point where an auditor would simply be stone blind on the meter. He'd just never see a reaction, that's all. Or he'd try to explain the reaction, which is the same thing, isn't it? You got one going right now, which is very laughable. You know all about this, and yet I've had a dispatch about it, and somebody else has had a dispatch about it today. And that is, do you take the reading during the sentence? It's silly. You ask yourself, what the hell? What is a reading which you get during the sentence? It's reading on the various words in the sentence, not of the sense of the sentence. So, of course, you ignore it. There's a prior read, you ignore it. There's a latent read, you ignore it. The only read you read is the instant read. Bang. If you don't get an instant read, you want to be sure, try it again. You saw one last night when I was auditing. You saw a prior read. You didn't see me buy it. I said, well, we'll check it. And there it went that time. It fired. But we were getting some kind of a random read. Random needles are apt to read almost any place, but they won't ordinarily read two times running accidentally. You see. Now you only buy an instant read. Just lay that in with iron, man. Instant read. Actually, there is actually no time period at all between the receipt of your question and the response from the reactive mind. If there's any time period, it is consumed electronically. There might be an electronic lag. I've said a half and a fifth and a tenth. I'm just trying to give you an idea of a small amount of time. I was studying it the other day and I found out it was zero time. It's actually zero time plus the electronic lag. That electronic lag is pretty darn instantaneous, unless your meter's damped. And to your eye, you really can't detect any lag. And that's the only thing you pay any attention to. There's only one other time when you use any other kind of read. You never use a prior read, you never use a late read, except this one. There is one exception, and that is when you're helping the PC by steering. You're steering the PC's thinkingness. You saw me do it last night at a very broad scale, fish and fumble. Very, very broad. I'm practically sitting there waiting for the needle to hit on something so I could ask the PC what he was thinking about, you see? And then you've asked a question, you've got an instant read, you've asked him what it is, and a moment later you see that instant read repeated, but this time as a needle pattern. You see the same read, so you say, what was that? Okay, what's that? So, that's steering. See, so it doesn't matter whether you steer it in a fish and fumble, just sit there and wait for the guy to react on something and say, what were you looking at that moment? You see? That. That's just steering. It doesn't matter whether you do it after you've got the instant read or without any instant read. You could use a meter in that fashion. It doesn't tell you anything. You just want to steer the PC's attention to something. And that. Oh, wow, I keep seeing this stuck picture. That's what that is. Wouldn't matter what the that was or what his withhold was, it's just steering. It's the only time you ever use anything but an instant read. Your instant read is never prior. It never happens before the end of the sentence. These must be single clause sentences. It never happens except at the end of the sentence, the end of the word. Now, you can say, have you ever damaged anyone? And get a you have. The person's all ARC broke on having this thing. Have. Clink. You. You know, you nearly reacts on all PCs. Clink. Damaged. Clank. See? Someone. Tick. Well, you could say to yourself, where the hell am I? Well, just ignore all that earlier stuff. Just ignore the lot. If you're not sure, say, I'll repeat that. Have you ever damaged someone? And clang, you get your instant read right on the E of someone. That's right exactly. It's just as the tail of the E comes up, you'll get the instant read. Particularly on a second repeat, because you've got to worn a groove. See? You want to take a question apart, you'll get have. What about have? You'd be a real idiot to do this, see, but what about have? Oh, I don't know. Well, what was that? Oh, well, that was the havingness session I had today. The auditor said it was my process because it kept tightening the needles. all right, you. All right, what's that? That. Well, I don't know. It must be listing. We keep putting you down on the list. All right. Fine. Damaged. Yeah, what's that? That. Well, I don't know what that is. That. Well, what am I supposed to be answering? Just that. That. Well, what am I supposed to be answering? Well, just that, that's all. Idiocy reigns, don't you think? That's your priory. Just ignore the basketful. See, the hell with them. Same as latent. You wouldn't do anything with a latent read. Well, don't do anything with a prior read. When does a read become prior? Oh, I would say anything up to a non-instantaneousness before you ended the sentence. And when does a read become latent? Any non-instantaneousness after you've ended the sentence. I mean, it's just as idiotic as that. I mean, we're actually defining a cheese knife or something like that. Crazy. I mean, it's so easy to read that you keep missing it, you see? You don't have to compartment the question anymore to amount to a hill of beans. Ask it two or three times if you're not sure what it is. It all of a sudden will straighten out and read. You see, you're actually talking to a thought to the reactive bank. Most of you make this fantastic mistake. You think the PC analytically can influence the meter, and he cannot. Absolutely impossible. He can do it on a via by thinking of something, but he knows auditors always call on him. See, he remembers a session in which he had a missed withhold that nobody has ever pulled, see? So he could actually go about this kind of a weird one. Every time they ask him, about something, he could think of that session. You see, and he'd get a reaction, but there must have been an unknown in the session. See, he could not know enough about it, you see, so he'd get a reaction by thinking of something that he knew he didn't know anything about. He could get a reaction. That's as close as he can get to it. And, you know, it always has a lag. You know, it will always give you a latent read. Because the guy has to sit there and think about the session. And the time it takes him to think analytically about the session gives you a latent read. Now, an instant read can't ever go through the analytical mind, and doesn't. It goes straight to the reactive mind, straight as a bullet. See, the reactive mind, by definition, is something that has never been timed, something that's still happening, something that is always now. And its always nowness deletes all time, and that is why you get an instant read. There's no time in the reactive mind, which is what is wrong with it. So, of course, it reads reactively now. And if you think the PC knows the answer to what just flicked the needle. Now, look, he can't move the needle analytically, so how the hell could he know it? There must be an unknown on anything that goes flick. I don't care whether it's a dirty needle or anything else. Of course, you ask him if he has a present time problem, and he knows he's got a present time problem. He got reminded of it, you see, just at that moment. Terrific unknowns in this present time problem. It's the unknowns that fire. Okay. If something is not unknown to the PC, it won't fire, which is the other denominator of the reactive mind. It is a cauldron of unknowns which exist in now always. So you ask the PC something, you're going to get a reactive response. The needle will not react. You sit there prep-checking somebody. You could get very impatient about it. It sure makes the PC think if he sees his auditor getting a little bit crowding him. And he kind of, and he thinks and grinds and he looks and that sort of thing. The auditor could steer him around and say, "What's that?" Why does the auditor have to steer him? It's because he doesn't know what it is. Try this on a PC someday. If you don't like him, you've just been given a bad session by him yourself or something like that. Try this on him. Say, have I missed a withhold on you in this session? The PC suddenly feels funny because, you see, he feels the surge as just as you get electronically the surge on the meter, see? So he feels his surge. And he kind of knows, yes, you know. He says, "Well, what was it? Huh? What was it?" Don't help him out. Just sit there. And he finally says, "Well, I can't find it. I don't know what it is," and so forth. You say, "You know what it is. Tell me." Don't help him out. Don't steer him. You can go on like this for hours. But the PC is kind of looking around, you know, and you see a flick, you say that. He's looking at a table. He's looking at a picture of a table. Where the hell did that come from, you know? "Ha, ha, ha, that," the auditor said. "It's a picture of a table." Of course, it develops a little bit. He sees a little bit more of it. "Oh, Mr. Withhold. Oh, yes. I was..." That he recognized what the table is, the table on which the E-meter sits. He was thinking that the thing was awfully creaky. And he didn't say anything about it to the auditor. And it springs to view, and all of a sudden you haven't got a reaction anymore. Why haven't you got a reaction? Because it's known. So the more unknown underpinnings you have on something, the less reaction. I mean, the more reaction you've got, you understand? And the less unknown there is there, the less reaction. So magnitude of action, consistency of action, not really magnitude, but consistency of action is determined by consistency of unknown and its immediacy in present time. So, of course, you can get a goal, and the goal will go bang, 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 bang. We don't know what the hell a goal is sitting in. That's how that goal fires. We don't know the mass that surrounds it. How does it stay in place? What is all of it? What life did we lead? How come we got into that? You know, all kinds of questions like this, and yet the thing will still fire on the E-meter. You say the goal, bing. See the goal, bing, bing, bing. Say it every time, bing, bing, bing. You say, "What is the goal?" to the PC, and the PC can tell you what the goal is. Of course, that ought to wash out, shouldn't it? Uh-uh. Bing, 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 bing. That's why you have to audit them. It's a firing proposition. All right. Now, this unknownness can get buried in. You can bury unknownness in the middle of an auditing session. You can sandwich it in just like the screaming witch doctor. They got one down in South Africa. Or mostly Central Africa. They walk around not having seen it in South Africa. They kind of chased it out underneath the brush, I guess. But get a horsetail switch for flies, fill it full of fleas, shake it all over somebody, and while he's trying to brush them off, say something to him. That's a version of that. That's implantation magic. The Russians, being rather Asiatic, do this consistently and continually. Guy is en route to a questioning chamber, and a woman dentist with forceps and so forth steps out of a hidden door in the hall and examines his teeth and disappears through the same door. Shatters him. Where the hell was she from? Typical modern Russian tactic. Boy, these Russians, they go around this way, you know. This was what Pavlov taught them. I don't think he had to teach them very hard. I noticed they made a terrific bid for popularity tonight. 15-year-old boy swam across the river to get into West Berlin tonight, so they put, from the commie side, 7 bullets in him. Mobs of people watching this, and they took him to the hospital with a bullet in his lungs and in critical condition. Their bids for popularity are really marvelous to behold. They probably think it's the thing to do, you know. But they do these surprising things. See, they do a sudden surprise in the middle of an action that makes an implant. Don't give them credit for being smart on this. It's probably a dramatization because they don't do anything with it. You see, you knowing that, figuring out, let's see, how could we use this politically? Oh, well, easy. We'll have this guy, we'll play some Beethoven, and we'll have some soft perfume in the room, and lying on a soft couch, and we'll play some Beethoven, see? And under the table, out of sight, why, we will have the Moscow air raid warning siren, the biggest one. And just as he's all relaxed and listening to this thing, you see, we will press this button. Stop pressing the button and say you are a communist and start pressing the button again. Guy'd walk out, he'd tell everybody he was a communist. We'd have done the trick, since communists more or less a robot anyhow. I mean, you could apply these things intelligently. The Russians don't. You know, it takes them 70 days to brainwash. And they only get 22%. Isn't that interesting? You know, they only get 22%. I think it's marvelous. You know? Why do they try? Why do they try? But this all comes under the heading of that sort of thing. Something that is invalidated secretly or privately. Bang, like that in a guy's mind. What is it? It's sort of interesting. You go over this, it'd make more sense when you get these things checked off, because it wouldn't take very long to check these things off. You can go on and check it over, of course, on more of an overt proposition, just talking about getting rid of this meter blindness. As an auditor, have you ever deliberately ignored a significant meter response? When I first looked at that question, I thought, my God, I just had E-meters all over in front of my face. I wrote the question down all of a sudden this morning. I was sitting there looking at E-meters. And I was willing to swear that I must have done it just every session. For just a moment, just have a thought for thought. I must have done this every session, you know. I just must have ignored significant meter responses. So I just sat there, forced myself to remember exactly when they were. They amounted to exactly 3. One of them I knew. I said I would take up the rudiments question in the middle of the prep check session. In other words, are you willing to talk to me about your difficulties? So I said, we won't bother with it now because we're going to take it. Another guy checked out a criminal, and I couldn't clear it, and didn't believe the meter, and the guy ran away with the crown jewels afterwards. You know, some such comparable action. And an early one, well, I asked somebody, a question, and I got a response, an immediate and direct response on the question, and couldn't and didn't follow it up and never developed it. And boy, was that fraught with havoc. And there are only three. Think of the thousands of hours I've watched. There were three, and they had stacked up enough to give me an automaticity of meters. My God, I saw meters going this way. Get the idea. I mean, they had it stacked right in. Of course, the obvious one, have you ever invalidated knee meter? And then another obvious one. As a pre-clear, have you ever successfully persuaded an auditor the meter was wrong? That's more hazarding it, but I know there are a few who have. And then, have you ever attempted to invalidate a meter read in order to keep something secret? And I know some PCs have done that. But you notice in each case it says, or any version thereof, or any version thereof, or any version thereof, and so forth. So you'd have to fool around with it and get the thing clear. Now, I think, I don't mean to invalidate or make you believe that you're going blind and can't see anymore or something like that. But the alternative is you're just plain wicked. And you aren't that either. The mistakes which could be made are you just not seeing the meter bang. See? You think that it's swinging all the time anyway, and you don't quite see the change of pace. Your eye isn't educated to seeing the change of pace. That's all. That'd be one. Another thing, your PC, before you investigate this thing, and before you investigate your PC, you've already got him so ARC broke that the meter won't read at all. If your TR1 just is not responding on the PC because of the ARC break. And the other one would be some confusion about what is an instant read. What is one? Well, of course, you see one, you see one. Last night, Susie was calling off for you just any read that came along, naturally. She was giving you your read practice. And some of you took it, but she was calling them all reads and thought she should have only been calling the instant read. Stop that. Why, she can call just instant reads next time. You will see these things read. It's the educated eye. This is the grossest auditing error there is. It's the hardest one to put across. Nobody is trying to make you guilty particularly, but I have got some ways and means by which you can feel easier about it. And I don't say that all of you are doing it. And I don't say that all of you are doing it always. But there's enough of it being done so that those PCs which I have checked out or had checked out in the last few weeks have been found to not, they weren't clean on whatever was being asked. Not only weren't clean on the meter, but weren't clean physiologically on the questions. You see, there are other ways to watch. You ask a PC a question, and he goes, and blushes and squirms and... Honest, it's as good as an instant read. You get all those reactions, one kind or another. Of course, you add it up. Observation. That's the whole thing, the ability to look. I have always been trying to teach you how to look. Here's a direction to look. Here's an instrument with which to look. And if I ever will just teach you just to look and to see what you are looking at, without any interference or interpretation or anything else, well, I probably would have made a greater philosophic splash than any philosopher we've had on this planet, don't you think? So this is the toughest one to get anybody to do. It's just to observe. That's the tough one. See? Don't feel too bad. Just work on it. Get practiced up. All of a sudden you'll be right in there pitching. Okay? Remember, once upon a time, somebody delivered me a thing, and they said it was an electropsychometer. And I sat up most of the night trying to find out what it did. And it was actually a week or two before I found out that it read on the needle. So you're in good company. Thank you.